Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's a day we call Your Money Matters, brought to you by our good friends at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Their number is 720-895-0500. Mr. Rogers joins us in studio. How are you?
You know, you don't say that as quite as often as you. You're Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Mr. Rogers was in the neighborhood and stopped by.
Because
we're
both
sweater on. You know, we're good.
We're both of age to remember that one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I never watched that show. Did you?
No, I never did either. It was interesting to find out about him, the kind of guy he was.
Yeah.
And why he wore a sweater.
Right. Who was Tom Hanks did a movie?
Yeah, good movie.
Really?
Yeah. Hanks does a good job at what roles he plays.
Absolutely. Hey, we got Allison Wall also with us. Allison, we'll say hello real quick. How are you?
I'm great. Good to see you guys.
Hey, great to have you back in. We're going to get to Allison here in just 1 second. But, Kurt, first of all, let's start with you. Let's talk about some of the programs you got right now for first-time homebuyers.
Well, because of what's going on with the interest rates, we're starting to, and the lenders have come out with some special programs, we're starting to see more people that didn't think they could buy a home actually being able to buy a home because of these first-time homebuyer programs. Some of them then will only require 3% down and no mortgage insurance, or 5% down and no mortgage. Their rates are better and the cost to actually get the loan is lower. So you're able to qualify with higher debt-to-income ratios and less money down, and that normally helps first-time home buyers. And then there are other ones out there that there's some new down payment assistance programs. And they're not like what you would think. They're only for people with real bad credit to help them get into a loan.
Mm-hmm.
You could have mediocre credit and want to put 5% down. These down payment assistance programs, they'll come in and give you another $25,000. Now, the best part about that, in my opinion, is they'll do it at 3% amortized over 30 years. That means on $25,000, that payment's $84 a month. That's cheaper than what it's going to be on the rest of the loan. And you don't have to pay it back until you refinance or sell the home, or you can make the payments. So it's really a great program to help people get into a home that have never been into one before and start to understand the value. So there's plenty of them out there now. We're seeing a lot more people leaning towards those.
Right. Now, down payment assistance program, is there a max you can have as income?
Yes. On some of them, yes. On one of the programs, you know, if you're making over $160,000 a year, they're probably going to tell you no.
But you don't need assistance.
I don't know many first-time home buyers make that.
Right.
But normally, if you're anywhere between $70,000 and $110,000, $15,000, these programs are designed that you can still get into those programs.
Hmm. But if you're married, and you can qualify on one of the incomes,
yes,
and kind of find a way around it, too. So there are ways to leverage the program in a pretty cool way as well.
If we kind of talked about that before the show with the loan level pricing adjustments, they've actually changed interest rates and FICO scores and things like that, and they're getting more geared to help folks with maybe lower scores and less incomes to get into a home. That's kind of where we see that they're heading in some of the programs they have out there. And there are some out there that are really nice.
Wow. Affordable Interest Mortgage, I just can't get over, man. I just want to go, with this.
The loan level prices.
Yeah. Higher scores,
I mean,
cost you more.
The people that work hard, save, do all the things that they can do to do that, and then we're going to reward the ones that maybe didn't work quite so hard.
Well, they might have worked really hard. It's just they fall on hard times. That part isn't the challenge, I think, is it's just the dinging the people who were able to keep all their ducks in a row.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right?
They make the adjustments to make sure that everything's taken care of on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're now actually being penalized because
we know that medical bill, we know that hard things happen
things
and stuff happens. So that part, that's not the challenge. It's the dinging the ones that everything fell their way and they were able to keep it all together or nothing happened. Putting the ding on them, that's the part that stinks.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think because you have a 740 or a 760 or 780 credit score that you make a lot of money. There's people that are making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year.
That's right.
And that have that, and they're now being dinged.
That's right. And they may have only had a credit card with a limit of $1,000 or something on it, and they just don't ever max it out, or they don't use it.
They manage it very well.
It's all about managing your debt to income ratio and your debt limits.
It's, and keeping those cards at a certain percentage.
That's right, the debt limit. There's so many ways that you get to that score. It does not mean that you are making $250,000 a year as a couple at all.
But that's part of like what she's talking about. Those folks are actually going to start getting penalized. Where somebody that misses a beat every now and then for whatever reason is now going to, they're going to get some of the benefit of that.
Right. Well, it's been a little bit since Allison's been in.
Yeah.
I think it's last year.
Yeah. I know. Time's flown, though. You know, holidays, vacations.
I know it's hard to know what day it is there for a
sometimes.
Few weeks, you know, with the New Year's and Christmas and Thanksgiving, all that. So how's the first quarter kind of been? What's it been like?
Dynamic.
Okay.
Yeah. I have begun to summarize the market for my clients as skiing moguls. I think that's the most simple way to capture what our market's doing on a week-by-week basis. We entered the year hot, leaving December and coming into January with multiple offers, no inventory. The first sign of a house that looked remotely remodeled, it was gone. And then rates went up and things quieted down. And buyers got scared. And now we're kind of seeing us turn the corner that even though rates are up, there's not enough inventory and everything that's gorgeous is gone again.
Mm-hmm.
But the feds have said, hey, we're not pulling back because we see all of you wanting to gobble up the inventory and it's going to lead to this, you know, same situation of multiple offers and strong demand and raising prices, and we don't want that. So there's this kind of not quite devil on the shoulder, but we know that back here in our ears we're hearing, you know, watch out. So it makes people a little bit nervous.
Right.
So there's an up and a down and an up and a down. And most people who are coming to Colorado or who already live here understand the skiing moguls concept, the up and the down, and they'll finish it up and they'll go, and you just got to get through it. Right?
Yeah. Wow.
So that's kind of what I feel like we're in, and that's what I'm seeing consistently.
And I agree with that. I see it a lot on the rate side and what's moving. And, you know, it's hot, then it's back because of what's going on with rates.
Mm-hmm.
How does that come into play, in your opinion, on pre-approvals?
There are a lot of questions to ask around pre-approvals right now.
Yes.
The loan level price adjustment piece, has that been taken into account? Where are people on their debt to income ratio? How long ago were they pre-approved? How has that been reevaluated recently? I've got folks who are looking at properties that are a little more rural, or they want stuff that is heavily forested, and we're having to look more intensely in how the insurance piece plays in, right? That's not a $4,000 premium. Can they get insurance?
That you bring up a very good point. Something you would not normally think about when you're looking at a home off the grid, out of town.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden now that insurance bill went from maybe $200 a month to $400 a month. Mm-hmm. Changes everything about the loan.
Yeah. So there are a lot of different layers and dynamics of all those pieces there. Yeah.
Yeah. What we're trying to, when I'm working with customers trying to buy a house, the agents will call me up on the pre-approval and they're asking much more direct questions because can they have a rate increase and still be approved for this loan?
Yeah.
If this happens, can they handle these kind of things coming forward? Otherwise, they're not going to take that house off the market because there's still not enough homes.
Absolutely. And including, let's say we get through let's look at a typical scenario, a 30-day closing scenario. How long is their rate lock? If the rate lock expires, and can they afford to pay for a rate extension? If they don't, can they handle what the rate's going to be at day 40? If we have struggles getting through because of something in the contract, which I've been sitting in, we have a property that was a townhouse, and we did a sewer line scope, which you should do during an inspection on every property.
No matter
what. Absolutely.
And there was an 8-foot belly in this sewer line. It is not the seller's issue. It is the HOA's issue. And it has taken us 3 weeks plus to figure out what we were going to do to move forward. Guess what? At this point, no one's repairing it. However, we now know who owns the responsibility for it. But if we had gone past 30 days, what was going to happen to my client's rate lock. Who was going to pay for that? What was going to happen to their rate? Were they going to be able to continue to purchase this home? Because rates shifted a full point.
Yes, they did.
From the time they went under contract to where we are now.
And what could buying that extension cost somebody?
Several hundred to more than
About 25
to multiple
cents.
Thousands, depending on the size of the loan.
Really?
Yeah, figure 25 cents on the dollar, meaning which if you want it to go down by a quarter of a point, you're going to pay $1,000 for each quarter that you're buying. Mm-hmm. And that adds up on an, you know, an average $400,000 or $500,000 loan. So it can add up. You have to look at
who's underwriting the loan makes a difference. You know, some underwriters give you, here's a free 15 days. You've got a little wiggle room.
Yes.
Some of them don't at all. Some of them give you a one-time extension, but you have to pay for it and you have to take a full 60 or a full. So who Kurt's working with is going to have a say in how you extend, what it costs you, how many opportunities you have. Do you get a freebie? Do you not? There are scenarios in there as well. But all of these subtle nuances matter.
Yeah, I have a lender that gives me what I call S&H green stamps. I mean, we used to get those years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And they just kind of bank up and they sit there.
That's so stupid. Think about that. A book.
Well, we all had an image.
The whole book. I remember my mom. Yeah, have that book and you go, get gas, whatever, and here's some stamps and you put them on a book.
Yep, and go buy things with it.
Yeah,
but they'll give me these points. And when I get to one that where I have to extend it for whatever the reason, I can actually give those points away for free because I've earned them because of the amount of business I've given this lender.
Gotcha.
It's just like you talk about. It's a little bonus, and I bank them because I know eventually I'm going to need to use them for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't cost the customer any money. That I haven't heard that analogy of moguls, but that is very appropriate.
But then it goes to where it really proves the point. You need experience on both sides of this, the realtor world. And the mortgage lender world, right?
You do, yes.
To know what's going on.
And an experienced agent or one who doesn't really understand the nuances is going to really,
really get
caught
in a bind in a hurry.
And then you got to think about the appraisals that come into play, especially if you're out. You know, if I'm looking at a log home, who's taking them?
Modular. I just had a low appraisal.
Appraisals are now starting because if you go out to do an appraisal, you say the house is worth $600, and maybe the house comes in at $600, but the homes prior to that were all selling at $650. Let's say 8 months ago, that's a declining market. Well, now all of a sudden you can't get the loan to value because the regulations state if the market's declining, you have to cut it by 5%. Well, that's not something you know until you get the appraisal on the house. Now all of a sudden you got to find another 5% down or switch lenders. It becomes difficult in that end of the field that we're seeing half of them are coming back with what they're classifying as declining markets.
And so you just had a low appraisal.
We did. We were in a stable
market. What then? What
well,
do you do?
So it wasn't the same one with the sewer line.
You're consistent. Yeah.
This was it's a great property. It's the best one anywhere on the market for the client in this price point because we kept watching, right? Are we going to terminate and go get something better? No. But what we ended up doing was reconfiguring the entire loan package. They were only putting 5% down, but I said, look, if we can get the seller the list price, which it came in below, we had offered over to do seller buy down. We wanted my client to have some credits to offset the interest rate. So that was negated in the appraised value, and it went below the list price with this appraised value. Which was, that was the really the surprising part. They went below list price. We would have been fine if they just said, your little creative offer was not accepted. Fine. So we recast the entire offer. They came to the table with 3% down instead of 5. And that gave them the cash to make up the difference in the appraised value. And the seller then still gave them their credit.
Okay.
So they were able to have their current monthly payment for the time, but it's a 2-1 buy down. I
think Kurt talks about those. Yeah, yep. Great.
So they kept their current monthly payment. They made up the difference in cash, which was small. It was a smaller property. And the seller got what they felt was a fair market value, which it really was when you looked at all the other comps. This appraiser was just a little bit, what we sometimes call activist appraisers, trying to save the market one property at a time. So we just reworked everything, and it worked for everyone.
Right.
And the client, the buyer, actually is paying a little bit less each month through this than they were before which is kind of a strange thing. You wouldn't think that, right? They're putting less money down. How are they paying? But it just works out that way for them.
But Mark, yeah, in their loan program, it does, especially with a 2-1 or a 3-2-1 buy-down.
Yep. And an experienced agent or someone doing a couple of houses a year might have just folded the tent, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It didn't appraise. You guys got a bad deal. Right. And the sewer line's bad. And you guys better go figure something else out. And I'm going, rates went up a whole point. Mm-hmm. We need to, if you guys still like this house and you feel confident and you do your due diligence, which they did a ton of due diligence. These kids learned so much in the last 3 weeks, and they feel incredibly confident. Mm-hmm. And I served their parents, and so, you know, there's a whole set of family trust, but they went back to their parents. Their parents encouraged them. The inspectors have encouraged them, the lender. I mean, everyone has said, you're in a good spot once you've done your due diligence and you feel confident, and they do. Someone else could have easily just said, oh, two strikes, man, we're out. Yeah.
That's why it's important to have the right team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody working together for that client.
Sure.
Even the seller's agent working, trying to make things happen because mm-hmm. it fits everybody. There's sometimes you don't have that, and that makes it much more difficult on the buyer.
Right. Absolutely. You're listening to Your Money Matters. Hey, Kurt Rogers with us, Allison Wall, Keller Williams, DTC. Her number, 303-246-6707. We'll be right back.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you have been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people hear evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one that's hurt, you have a good idea what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals, whom you don't know and weren't witnesses, to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
The Outdoorsman's Attic is Colorado's very own outdoor gear consignment store. From live bait to lanterns, firearms to ammo, packs to sleeping bags, all the fishing gear you could ever hope for. And if you need some decoys for the waterfowl season, stop into the Outdoorsman's Attic. Hey, this is Scott Watley here again for my friends at the Outdoorsman's Attic, and they've got hunting, fishing, and camping gear with huge savings up to 70%. You'll find new and pre-owned items to choose from, and since the inventory changes daily, hey, this is a store you need to stop in at least a couple of times a week. Reviews, here's what a few of their customers have said. Cody says, hey, two floors of pure outdoorsman paradise. Mickey said, I love this place. Great small business, family owned and run, lots to look at and good prices. Amy says, if you need good camping and outdoor gear, go here first. Support a local small business. Such great finds. Everyone is so nice and helpful. So save big. Get to the Outdoorsman's Attic today on all of your outdoor gear. 2650 West Hampden Avenue in Sheridan. Tell them Scott sent you.
Thinking rates are too high to buy a home? Wish they were in the threes or fours? Well, your wait is over. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With a 3-2-1 buy-down, you can now purchase a home at 3.193% first year, 4.913% second, 5.913 the third, and the remaining years at 6.913 with an APR of 6.985. If rates go down, refinance and save even more. On a $400,000 loan, your monthly payment would be over $748 a month less the first year, $511 the second, $262 the third, with a total savings of over $18,000. Before you buy, take AIM, 720-895-0500. 3-to-1 buy-downs available up to 95% loan-to-value. If you're thinking about home ownership, now may be the best time to purchase. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Own your new home and save thousands in payments. That's 720-895-0500. 80% LTV, 30-year fixed, 6.985% APR, 740 FICO, primary home, rates as of 11/16, NMLS 298191, and rates subject to change.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and a special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. Kurt's number is 720-895-0500. If you're just joining us, Allison Wall is with us. Once again, she's with Keller Williams, DTC. Her number, 303-246-6707.
We've had you on the show before, and we've talked about something that you do that many agents don't do, is you help people on new builds. Mm-hmm. When someone's going out to look at a new build, they normally have a tendency to believe they don't need a realtor. And if you really start looking into it, you need a realtor more in a new build than you do on pretty much anything else, because those contracts are not written to protect anything about the buyer. They're
not
all designed
at all.
They're designed strictly to protect today, tomorrow, a year from now, any warranties, everything about the seller. With the builders having so many more homes available, they seem to be having an abundance, and they kind of slowed their production down. Do you still think it's important that they have you because of the amount of money builders are giving away? And if so, why? I know why, but I think I do know why. But tell our listeners why.
Yeah, so I am always an advocate for a client having an advocate of their own. We're ever able to see the contract before, right? If they just kind of posted their 60 pages on the door before you walked in.
Like a menu.
Yeah, like a menu when you're walking the streets of Paris. There's a line in there that says, we are not your representative. We work for the builder. We do not work for you. We do not represent you. It's buried on probably page 40 out of 60.
Yeah.
But just to see that part, to see it in writing, and that you're initialing and saying you have no representation. The salesperson feels like your representative. You've spent, you know, three visits and eventually a week and then 3 months with this person who talks to you and answers your questions, and you build this relationship and you feel like you have this advocate, but they are not anything other than an employee of the builder, and they are the downline of everything that the builder tells them to do, say, and represent. So the only way you have an advocate and someone who's inside the industry and understands the ins, the outs, the contract language, how you can maneuver their benefits, their features, what the contract means, and how to get them to do what you need them to do when they've done something not right or perfect, is to have someone on your side, period.
I've seen so many times to where having an agent involved into it, they fix things as they go along. We're not fighting with, struggling with the builder to get us documentation and things like that so we can finish the loan. But many people feel that bringing an agent in affects the discount that they're going to get, or that they're paying for the agent because it's in that discount.
Right, and that is not the case. The builder holds essentially a separate fund. They know statistically X percent of people are bringing an agent, and X,
so they're
going to
build that in.
They built it
in
the price.
It's built it in, so it's extra profit for them on every home where someone doesn't bring an agent. That's what it is. They're never giving that extra money away.
No.
So,
because you don't know it's there.
That's right. They don't know. But for them, it's just an extra line item. And statistically, across the board, the percent probably doesn't change. And I'll say it's probably 6 to 10% of people that have representation, which is a sadly low number. But the rest is all profit. And it's just baked right in.
Before we came back in the break, you talked about a specific case with bold windows, the value of an agent in a new build.
Yeah, so I have a client, they worked with a builder that they build all spec product. So you're not going in and choosing anything at a design center. And this is a pretty typical scenario for a lot of clients. I work with everything from semi-custom to we're going to close on that house in 2 weeks because it's complete, right? The whole spectrum. And these folks were doing a spec builder, but built it from dirt. They chose the lot, the orientation, and waited and watched the whole thing be built. This house was quote unquote dried in, meaning electrical could be put in, all the finishes could be put in, the appliances could be put in, everything. Well, there were some windows missing. We went through winter, and as we all know, this has been a lovely, wet, snowy,
yes,
windy, great winter for Colorado. My folks didn't have windows in a house that has carpet. And they were like, hey, Allison, what are we gonna do? We've had multiple snows. We've asked them to tarp, to cover, we've pointed it out and said, are you guys gonna do anything for our house? Now, every buyer feels like it's our house, and the builder says in the contract, this is not your home until you close on it. So I have to remind them of that. However, you have a right to take over a home that is safe and is not going to have any risks involved with it, right? Well, water on carpet is a mold condition.
Yep.
And you also in a contract sign off that you will have a home that should be mold free, and the builder no longer takes any responsibility for mold. So we had to go in and use their language against them and say, hey, dear builder, we've had two scenarios in writing. We've brought this to your attention. You've ignored it. Are you ready to sign off and release your disclaimer of all responsibility for mold because you have told them in writing you aren't going to replace the carpet or the padding secondary to incident date X and incident date X? And within a few hours, we got a response back that the carpet and pad would be replaced. But my clients didn't know what to do.
See, and that's the part, that one statement that says you're giving up all, you have nothing. Mm-hmm. This is all about them. Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing to do when you're buying a home at, you know, $500,000 to $900,000.
That's right.
That's where the rep, and again, you don't cost anything.
That's right.
It's all built in.
And if you haven't done this in a new build before as a customer, you don't know anything for the probably, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't know how to go back and search your contract. You don't know how many of the, you know, sections of the contract to read and how to overlap the language and know what to say and know what not to say. Mm-hmm. As soon as you bring up the word lawyer, they go, oh, now you've talked to our lawyer and everything's delayed. I mean, there's so many nuances and ways to tackle it. And how do you catch more flies with honey, but also actually get done what you need to get done?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to it. And you need someone who's been there and done that to try to get it handled.
Yeah, and unlike a normal contractor where there is outs to get out of it to get your money back, in most cases, the minute you sign that contract, your money goes hard. No matter what happens, rates go up, doesn't matter.
The only way you're getting out, there's two ways to get out of it. The first is you don't get approved the loan. So you get generally a 30 days to be approved, right? So you have an out for loan approval and then you're just not qualified and you get your money back. The other is that you are an FHA or a VA buyer and the house does not appraise. And that's it. That's everywhere. It's from the federal level down.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you're on the hook. And if the house doesn't appraise, it's in the contract, you have to come to the table with the difference in cash. They don't adjust the price. I mean, all of these are things that people need to know going in.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of people, especially with what's happened in the last 8 to 10 months, that have caught themselves on the wrong side of that because they didn't have help. Yeah, and I appreciate what you do there because I see too many people getting taken advantage of. They're coming to me on loans, and I'm like, I can't help you there. And once you sign, you can't bring a realtor in. It's too late.
That's right. You have to do it in the get-go. You have to.
Man, a lot to know here.
I know, right?
That's why you need Allison Wall. All right, her number, 303-246-6707. Once again, she's with Keller Williams here in the DTC. So real quick before break. Overall, in the market, you know, I just saw some articles the other day, and they listed some cities where, boy, houses were really plummeting in certain cities across the U.S. as far as, so would you say we're in that appreciation phase or depreciation phase?
We're holding pretty flat. So we plummeted. We just really, like, walked off the ledge after Mother's Day last year. And once we hit, like, Christmas time, we roughly hit bottom. Now, when we look at the market and we're doing our month over month statistics, we're showing slight decreases still. I think we are down about 1% in January from December. But those are always really pulling from homes that have contracted from even the month before that. I don't have my data
just overall. Yeah.
Right, but that's when we hit a new year, we start to take a trajectory upward typically. So I'm waiting. I'm watching literally week over week data at this point because of this skiing moguls thing that I'm seeing because the market's changing so fast. And to be quite frank about it, anything that's new on the market that looks beautiful and is priced well is gone. So... It's new and fresh inventory is moving. The median days on market is 9 days. the odds of selling a home is over 60%. It's actually 64%, which is where we were before we hit the absolute insanity of 2022.
Yep.
So we are not in a sad and depressed market.
Right.
It's just,
the media sure tries to talk us into that, don't they?
They do.
It's more of a buyer's seller's market. It's finding this happy medium.
It
if
really
it's the
is.
Right house,
yes.
It'll go.
Yes.
If it needs work, we're going to talk.
That's right. Yeah. So if you put a dog on the market, if you didn't price it right and you just let it hang and you haven't taken it off the market and refreshed it and really repositioned yourself, that is the stuff that makes the market look like it's like a kid who sat on the beach and has sand in their pants.
Mm-hmm.
That's that side of the market.
Yeah.
If you've ever had sand in your pants, that's not fun.
Yeah. You know, can't you just pick that little kid's bathing suit with that big, that's that side of the market.
Allison Wall is our guest once again. She's with Keller Williams, DTC. Kurt Rogers is here. Hey, if you got any questions, give us a call, 303-477-5600. We'll be right back.
Turn a normal day into an adventure on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Caranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Just try it. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Before we get back to our guests, let me tell you about Stack Optical. And I just want to say a personal word of thanks to Alan for taking care of me, my wife, Victoria, and our optical needs, and many friends that we've sent there. And Alan has been doing a great job there. Family owned and operated since 1968 is Stack Optical. And it's only $69 for an eye exam, so call them today, 303-321-1578. And mention you heard them here on KLZ 560, and we'd appreciate that. But hey, if you're looking for some new glasses, they've got a great selection of frames. If you need contacts, maybe you've broken your glasses and you need repairs, it's a one-stop shop, so to speak, at Stack Optical. Hey, it's free parking, easy parking at their location right off Monaco and Evans, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, 303-321-1578. StackOptical.com is the website. Check it out. And as I always say at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
This is KLZ 560, your home station.
And we are back. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio, and Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Allison Wall is with us once again. Keller Williams, DTC. Her number, 303-246-6707. Allison, Kurt, we kind of talked about first-time home buyers.
Yeah.
And we broke the news a couple of months ago where, hey, that doesn't mean the first time you've ever really owned a home.
Right.
Okay. Hey, you know, so you just hadn't been on the title of one in, what, 36 months?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 36 yep. months. So what are you seeing in that area of the market with those first-time home buyers? Are you seeing more of those, less of those?
I would say I've talked to a lot more first-time home buyers that want to get in the market. They can. They're still feeling nervous too. The rate thing is just, it makes mm-hmm. them feel uncomfortable. So we have to keep talking strategy, keep making them understand that I really feel like we've hit the bottom in terms of prices for our market. I'm not saying we're turning around and watching them skyrocket in the next 4 weeks, but I don't think that the Colorado market is dropping in home values from here. So if you want to capture the lowest price for a home that you can, now's your time. And you mitigate and you navigate everything you can around interest rates. And so trying to help them get strategic about that and talk to all the people that they can to help them see the opportunities to do that, that's what we're working on. But we're also seeing, like I just had a client they've been out, they've done their exploratory trip, they have got their employer lined up, and their employer said, we're going to table the timeline on your job offer, and it might be fall now just because the economy, things just aren't ramping up the way we thought they would.
Right.
So we still see other dynamics coming into play.
Because what do you normally get? A letter from an employer saying they're going to be paying them this much?
That's right. Okay. And then Kurt needs that to say,
I have that. Okay, I'm good. You know, if somebody come out of college, because you can have a brand new job, come out of college, and the lenders look at it, you like you got a 2-year history of employment by going to college. They just need to see what your income is, and that's what the lender does.
Yep.
Says, here's what they're going to make. Okay, we're fine. Here's the start date. Let's go forward.
Yep.
And that's pretty common.
Right. And, you know, if they've been renting, I mean, that's pretty easy to compare what they're doing, paying for rent and not getting anything for that.
Right, yeah.
Versus buying, you know. So even though the rate may be scary a little bit, but it shouldn't be, once again. And you said earlier, I think before we came on air, that a lot of people aren't even familiar with what Kurt's been talking about these last few months, these 3-2-1 buy-downs and all these different things.
There are so many people who have never heard of them. They have talked to a lender, and the lender hasn't explained it. Again, going back to having people who are experienced, understand how to add value, understand how to educate. But, yeah, it really takes having deep and valuable conversations to get people to understand. There are so many ways to skin the cat of getting into the house and making it feel like I can achieve this, because the odds are that we're going to be back into a refinance market in the next 48 months or so, which that's what these buy downs do. They get you over that hurdle of feeling like I'm paying how much in wasted interest? Like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather not do that.
Since we've broached the concessions, what kind, besides 3-2-1s or 2-1 buy down, are you seeing concessions being made by either the seller or the buyer when you're negotiating on the non-perfect homes? Because the perfect ones, there's not a lot of concessions. They just go.
Yeah, there is not. That because there are so
few
beautiful and perfect homes.
Yeah.
It really depends. So this house, the property that we were talking about where we had the sewer line challenge and then we had the appraisal challenge, this house was in nice condition, right? But it wasn't a perfect property. But these sellers, they played hardball in terms of not giving a lot. Now, the inspection came back beautifully, but they really didn't give on any of the other things that my seller wanted to ask for in terms of getting concession. They even got free rent back out of my folks, because there was a multiple offer situation.
There you go.
On a small townhouse in Henderson, like Commerce City, Henderson. I mean, guys, we're not talking right here in the hub of Denver. And we're talking almost $400,000 for a townhouse. So, you know, it really, we are in a competitive market. But people are getting creative. And I don't mean creative in the aggressive way that we were when the market was at its peak.
Correct.
Right? But they're going to ask, do you need a rent back? What can that look like? They might ask for something more like, I want the house professionally cleaned, instead of being something that's a little bit harder or feels aggressive, right? They're going to ask for something that seems more palatable or friendly. So the asks are just a little bit more interesting or unique to try to get everybody on the same page and feel like things feel equitable.
There's more in the height of things in 2022, inspections were just, they weren't there. They just went away.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are now back where they need to be, because you need a home inspected. Like you said, the sewer lines are a good example. Or appraisals. If it doesn't come in, before it didn't matter, you had to make the difference. Now, if it doesn't come in, we can stop the deal. It's changed the way the contract's written. And those things are giving the buyers a little bit more proactivity in the transaction. The ones that I found the best that are working are 3-2-1 buy-downs, because it does, like you said, not only so much now for their payments, they're going to qualify at the higher payment, but they have that closer or less than rent payment that they're paying to get into their first home. And then they have the cash when the rates do come down to refinance right back out of it.
I've not had as much luck with the 3-2-1 because they're so much more expensive.
Yeah, you have to put at least 10% down to get the 3-2-1, 5% to get the 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Either one of those two work very well.
Yeah, the 3-2-1's been a harder one for me, just getting the seller to concede that much. It needs
to be
a property that has sat and is overpriced. Or, you know, there needs to, it's a perfect convergence, because you've got to have that property appraised. The seller's got to be willing to give that much.
Yep.
And then, of course, the buyer's got to have enough down. That one's a little bit harder to get, but it's great because you're getting 3 points off your first year versus two.
Yeah.
The 2-1 is so much more achievable. It's almost like a given. I mean,
yes.
You just tell the seller, it's got to happen, period. It's got to happen, period. No, you got to do it. No, you got to do it. And explaining to the seller, and sometimes the seller's agents, because there's still a lot of newbies in the market, no, your seller has to pay it all. This is the way it works. So there's a lot of education all the way around.
So that's one role you play then, is kind of an advisor when it comes to, okay.
Yes.
We got to pick our battles, right?
Oh, yes. Yes. There's a lot of coaching on all sides.
Yeah.
I mean, you come across new agents, you look them up and you go, oh, this one's never done a deal before. All right. But the goal is to get to the finish line. You know, it's not to make someone feel inferior or anything else. You know, if the house is right for the client, the seller needs to sell. The goal is to get everyone there and to get it done where the needs are met and you know that the client has had all their due diligence needs satisfied. You want people to know, to be educated, and to achieve their end goal and be happy.
Right. We work with a client that does roof,
mm-hmm.
an application for roofs, actually.
Okay.
That gives a 5-year warranty with it, you know, extends the life of roofs and things like that. So is that a big issue a lot of times?
It roofs? Can be.
Okay.
It can be. I wouldn't say it's our number one. I actually come across sewer lines more than I come across roofs.
Yep.
Right. We've got Wally on the line. Wally, you're on Haystack Help Radio. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good to hear from you.
I just saw Kurt in his office, but I wanted to publicly say thanks to Kurt. He just helped us refinance our house, and we're going to be using the all-in-one loan that he does to start building our new house down in Tennessee. And you guys were talking about new
bills.
Fresh houses coming on the market versus the ones that have been hanging around and things. And it was strange this week. I'm in a situation that I had a neighbor come to me, and he knows that we're getting ready to move. And he said, "Are you getting ready to put your house on the market?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I have a realtor friend that's got a client that's looking for a house like yours with that large detached garage." And they've connected us. I met with the realtor. He's bringing his clients to look at our house on Thursday.
Right.
And we may end up selling it before it ever even hits the market for our full asking price of what we want for it.
Wow.
And
good for you.
So, and we had a neighbor that just listed his house, and he sold it first day full price 2 weeks ago. And so to me, the market, what your guesser was saying, is still strong if you've got something that is fresh and that people are wanting to buy,
mm-hmm.
versus the old stuff that's been hanging around and people don't, you know, take the listing off, you know, do some repairs to the house and then relist it and things. So, but
yep.
But what Kurt did for us was great in helping us to be able to get started building our new house before that we actually have our house sold. So,
sure. Well, good, man.
Thank you, Wally.
Well, we appreciate it, bud.
Thank you.
All right, Wally. Thank you so much. Man, I tell you, when you look at just the market the way it is, and then you talk about fixing up and doing things like
mm-hmm.
that, so how do you advise people? Because some people may put $10,000 or $15,000 in something that's not going to get them money back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's where they need to get a hold of you early in this process, not try to figure out and do some things on their own, to get your advice of where to put, you know, whether to do that, whether or not to do that, right?
It would be a dream if every potential seller even just said, we're going to move in 5 years.
Yeah.
And we want to enjoy the house between now and then, so we're doing X so that we enjoy it. Would you just kind of give us a general sign off on, you know, mm-hmm. is this, we're not doing anything stupid, are we?
Right.
You know, and you go, that looks amazing. You know, mm-hmm. I don't love green, but that's just a paint color. So
sure.
You can paint, we can paint that whatever popular color that year before you sell. So,
correct.
You know,
whatever's like, on now.
Whatever. If it's grayish, if it's purple, if it's taupe, I don't care. But you enjoy that green for the next 5 years, that, you know, nice sagey, whatever, bathroom, kitchen, doesn't matter. But sometimes people do some silly things that aren't so great. You know, mm-hmm. they chop up a basement into four rooms when it should have been one big one, or...
they still have the wrong carpet, haven't changed it in a while.
Are home theaters still a big deal?
You know what I'll tell you the worst thing I see in a basement, and what? I get bad feedback every single time I have a showing? A walk-behind bar. You know, like a full, the old school bars
yeah,
where
yeah,
you...
Yeah, yeah.
A walk-up bar, meaning it's just a set of cabinetry with maybe a sink and a little bar fridge and some nice open shelving. Great. People love it. They
but
want it.
But if you got the saloon look.
Hate it. Hate it. So do not, if you have one, we get it. It was a popular thing. Mm-hmm. You can't necessarily fix it. You might have bought the house with it. Don't design one today. Don't. Mm. Don't design one today.
Won't work.
There's
so many things that come into play.
Footprint is so huge. It takes up usable space. The plumbing is usually run away from the wall, so people can't just rip it out. People, as a general rule, do not like them.
Right.
It is one of those kind of outdated.
What things. About what I think is your term, curb appeal? What is the landscape? How does that play a role in what the yard looks like? Different things like that.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So the one thing that a seller can do that will get them back dollar for dollar and possibly then some, garage door update. And that's proven year after year after mm-hmm. year, and it's proven nationwide. So mm-hmm. that's research. That's just not my humble, though awesome, opinion. So choosing an updated door, and not necessarily even a door that is exactly the same as you just had. So look around at what's been done. Go into a luxury neighborhood. Are they, you know, these nice new wood-looking doors, the ones
yeah.
with windows?
We did that a couple years ago, and I'm telling you, it changed the whole look
it
of our
changes
house.
The whole
I
look
mean,
of your
unbelievable
house.
Look.
Now, it may be helpful even just reaching out to the agent that you know, like, and trust and saying, hey, who's your stager? Who's your designer that you work with? We want them to come color match that wood tone with what's the stone in our house or the brick or whatever other feature so you don't have anything clashing. But you want to pull off of that, and you go that upgrade with a nice motor and all those things, and it's, you know, several grand, and you mm-hmm. get back every single bit of it.
Curb appeal matters.
Yeah.
It's matters it's like a driveway. If it's got too many cracks and uneven parts, it's going to affect it because, you know, the homeowner, when they're buying the house, they're going to see that as 2 to 3 times as much as it's really going to cost.
Always. They multiply at least by two.
Two or three times. And the seller is going to say, well, you can do it cheaper, and it's... And it always, not always, the majority of time comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's talk about what we see for inventory. What, you know, you guys putting your forecaster glasses on. What do you think the rest of the year is going to look like with inventory?
Tight. Yeah, tight. We've, Colorado has been a tight inventory market for a very long time.
Yes.
And whether it's an abundance of inventory comes on the market and then gets eaten up, or we get into situations like this where we have high interest rates and our sellers go, well, why would I sell? My interest rate is 2.75 and the current interest rate is pushing 7. Please explain to me how that math works in my favor. Hard to do.
Yeah. Yes.
So then we have a lock-in effect. It's going to be a tight market. Someone needs to be very motivated.
And because of that, the market's going to stay strong. It's not... We're not going to see, like you said earlier, the depreciation's not going to, there's more buyers than there are sellers.
Okay.
We don't even have a 60-day supply of homes right now. And we're just getting started into the season. This is traditionally when the market is really starting to take off. And we'll go through the summer.
Hmm.
And we're just not going to, I don't see it. I do see rates staying kind of where they are, but I do see them starting to come down later on in the season.
I think we'll see more production in terms of, you know, loans closed, homes
yes.
sold, more activity later in the year if rates drop.
Yes.
So, you know, we haven't had a traditional sales cycle since the pandemic. I thought this year might follow it, but the Feds kind of jumped in and pushed rates back up again. And so if they keep doing that until we get back into one a place where rates just follow and do their own thing on their own without any intervention, mm-hmm. whether it's pulling them down or pushing them up, we're not going to see a normal sales cycle year. Mm. So instead of it being where we peak by June and start to drop off, I think we're going to end up peaking later in the year.
And see, if you look at what the Feds have done in the last 6 months, they raised them 0.75 point, a half a point, and a quarter of a point. So they're up 1.5 points. Well, 30-year fixed mortgages aren't up 1.5 points.
No.
They mm-hmm. should stay there. So the Feds are taking – control of certain other things, but mortgage rates are going to continue to stay, I think, where they are. And then as we get into summer, they'll start to sneak down, which will keep the market moving.
Yep, agreed.
And keep the value up. I don't see that changing.
So out-of-state folks that come here, where are you seeing, from what states are people coming here?
It hasn't changed much. Okay. Our three big states are California, Texas, Arizona. We do get some East Coasters still, but it's generally places that have a higher cost of living than here on the whole, unless it is a job relocation.
We had a person, and we're in Highlands Ranch, Quebec and Lincoln area, and I had a gentleman buy a house across the street from, and they were like, I mean, they moved here because they thought it was like a deal, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, from what they were paying in California.
Yeah. Right.
Such a deal.
I mean, yeah.
Right, right. So, like, I have some folks, I'll be up in Evergreen tomorrow showing properties, and we're looking at, you know, $1.75 to $2 million. They're coming from Florida, but Florida is a temporary transition to help family out. They're California folks. They'd sold that house, sold it at the height of the market, went, mom's in Florida, they're just hanging out with mom, helping her out, doing some things, and they're like, where do we want to rebuy? And just for a season, they're like, we're just going to do this while our kid's in high school, and then we'll sell it and do something else after that. And they want to live in the mountains. So we're going to buy a mountain house for 4 years.
For high school.
For high school.
For high school.
For high school.
So, Kurt, we all want, and I say we all, Allison, she wants these folks to have that pre-approval, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about the steps that people need to get with you on to be pre-approved and then get with Allison.
One of the things I see with pre-approval, there's so many people that will tell you that they have a pre-approval, but they haven't even given any documentation to the broker. That's not a pre-approval. That's a pre-qual. Pre-approval means I need to see your income. I need to see your assets. I don't need your tax returns. I just need to see what you say you make is what you make. And with that, I can send it off to the lender, and they do what's called a TBD, to be determined pre-approval. They will look at it and they'll say, you are approved for this dollar amount at this payment. All we need is an address and we're ready to close. When I have that pre-approval and I give it to Allison, it's like cash. It's like, this one's done. We don't have to worry about too many things. As long as the rates don't move too much on us, we're going to be just fine. And that's what I'm seeing most of my agents want in the pre-approval. You're not hearing that. There's so many times that the customer hasn't even started the process with a broker, but the broker's willing to give them a pre-approval, and it's nothing but a pre-qual. And that just causes more problems because you go through a lot of work and not know that you can get it done.
Sure.
I have several right now, and I'm talking 9 to 10 that I've gone through the entire process. They're all approved, and they're good for 90 days. As long as they still have a job, I'm good.
Yeah. Nobody goes out and looks at a house with me unless they've gone through.
Yeah,
a full pre-approval.
It's just taken up too much mm-hmm. time.
And it's not even. Yes, it's for me. It is for the client. I have a client who we got into a home right when the pandemic was starting to kick up its heels, but their income was not the challenge. It was how much money they had down. And so what they told me they were going to be able to qualify for, and I'd sent them to the lender, but their whole plan got shifted by $100,000 because they weren't liquid enough to get enough money down to do the jumbo that they needed for the house that wife wanted. And I use that as my example. Every time someone says, well, I don't really want to go do the credit pull yet. And I say, look, do the credit pull and then pick the lender you're going to work with, and you keep your file up to date, and it can last more than 90 days. But we're not looking at houses until you know legitimately what you can do, because you're going to be sorely disappointed if I take $100,000 off of your budget.
Especially with the LLPAs coming, it's much more crucial. One of the new ones in that is that if your debt to income ratio goes from 40 to 40.1,
that's right,
it costs you more money.
A half point.
So income and all of those things come into play on what are the taxes are doing. What is the homeowner's insurance costing? All of that affects debt to income, which affects your rate. Again, I'm not fond of this, but this is what we have to play with now if you want to do a Fannie or Freddie loan. You don't have that problem with VA or FHA, but you do with every other kind of loan that's out there.
Right. And we said this earlier, it's never too early to start the conversation. no matter what side of the, you're on,
never.
Buyer or seller, right?
No, never. I have people who email me and say, we're going to retire in 4 years. We just want to make contact with you. Like, they just like they just want me to know who they are and that they might email me out of the blue in another 18 months.
Sure.
I mean, it's
But that's
it's
so
fine.
Much easier.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah. You know, because for people who are out of state in particular, so people in state can do the same thing. It's like, we are probably going to visit 4 times in 4 years. We probably want to grab coffee with you. You know, so a seller, we're going to move in 5 years. Each year, we might want you to stop by and see if we've made a change that's good or before we make a change. Great. Why in the world would I pressure you to sell when I know you have a goal? And there's a reason.
Right.
You're graduating a kid. You're launching a kid. You've got one. They're married, moved out. You have a reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pressure. Just time it. Get it right.
Right.
Set yourself up for success.
Absolutely. And that's what Allison will do. Once again, she's with Keller Williams DTC, and her number 303-246-6707. And hey, when you call, let her know you heard her here on Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters, and we'd appreciate that. And of course, any mortgage needs, give Kurt a call at Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. What, an hour goes quick with her, Kurt.
It does go
She's
quick.
So
I do
full
want to
of some great information.
I do want to say something about Allison. I've been doing this for about 22 years, and I've run across a lot of different agents. The reason I enjoy doing business with Allison is she doesn't just try to present herself. She actually does a lot of behind-the-scenes works and studying if she's going to list your house. She knows everything about it and what's going on in the market for the last 6 months. If she's helping you buy, she knows that side and what the right number is and how it's all going to work. This is not something she does part-time. This is something she's been doing full-time for a long time.
She helped one of our employees here, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 months ago, whatever. The person came to me and said, hey, my house has been on the market for a long time. What do I do? And I said, call Allison. And it was just a phone call. But Allison was kind enough just to give her a few tips. And then, like, a week, the house was sold.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the difference
so
between
that's
somebody.
A difference in experience
yes,
and non-experience. Absolutely. So, Allison, thank you.
Absolutely.
We appreciate
of
it. Once again, her number, 303-246-6707. Thanks for being with us today for Your Money Matters. Hope you'll leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.